keep God first in your walk, baby, and that's bona fide talk.
God Church. I am your host, Evangelist Falana, a.k.a. Bonafide Talk, and you're listening to Bonafide Talk, one of the hottest Christian radio broadcasts in the country. We are delighted that you have joined us today and equally delighted about our featured guest this evening. Before we get started, let us open up tonight's radio broadcast with a prayer. So clear all hearts and minds, please. Dear God, we come to you now. We are bowing our heads to you at the throne of grace. Amen. Dear God, we just want to thank you for everything that you have done for us. We thank you for your blessings, and even though those tough love blessings that you send our way to discipline us, because we know that you chastise us only because you love us. Dear God, I ask that you give me and the featured guest the appropriate words to say so that we are able to minister to the needs of your people. I ask that you shield us from the tactics of the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy, up to and including trying to block this message from coming forth through tonight's radio broadcast. It's all about you, dear God. Dear God, we ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Family, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Here is a message from our sponsor, Pastor Frank Henderson of Excel Fellowship.
What's up, everybody? It's your man, Frank Henderson, the pastor of Excel Fellowship Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. It's an honor to meet you and to come to you right here on Bonafide Radio. Check it out. Excel Fellowship Church, we meet every Sunday at 11 a.m. at 3908 Arrow Drive, right here in the big city of Raleigh, North Carolina. Our mission is real simple. We are reaching the lost, equipping the saints, and manifesting Christ. We look forward to seeing you real soon. Okay, now let's get back to Bonafide Talk.
Welcome back, guys. You're listening to the broadcast Bonafide Talk, one of the hottest Christian radio broadcasts in the country. It is now time to present our featured guest. Yay! She's a mother, public speaker, possibly a future radio talk show host on the BFTM 103.3 radio network. Hey, you never know. Author of The Fallen State of Man, here she is, ladies and gentlemen, the woman of the hour. Let's put our hands together to welcome Prophetess Monica Phillips. Hey, honey.
Hey, how are you? Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Glory be to God. Monica, thank you so much for agreeing to be the featured guest on Bonafide Talk. I'm so excited about having you today.
I'm excited as well. It's just amazing how God does things, and I'm just sitting here just remembering just a couple of weeks ago where I was in my life. I really thought that God had really left me, you know, and through going through the different trials and the tribulations that I was going through last couple of weeks, it was just rough. But now to see how God said, you passed, so this is what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to introduce you back into ministry through Bonafide Talk. So it just kind of blew my mind. So if I seem a little humble by this all, it's because I am.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, prophetess, I tell you, you know, that old saying that it says in the Bible, God never puts any more on us than we can bear. That is truly the truth. And it's amazing how that happens. And I'm sure you can attest to this, Monica. When we go through certain things, it does feel kind of sort of like God has kind of left us hanging. But little do we know that at the time, my cousin says it all the time, no test, no testimony. Amen. So look at you now, and Bonafide Talk is just the beginning, prophetess. And I know you know this. I know you know this. You're so talented. We're going to start talking about some of your projects and that type of thing, your music ministry, your author ministry or your book writing ministry. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. We're going to listen to my sister's song, the Love You Song, by none other than the prophetess herself, Monica Phillips.
Yeah.
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 Of a love you song. Go ahead, Monica. Yes. Jesus, glory be to God.
He is worthy of the love.
That was our featured guest, ladies and gentlemen, the prophetess Monica Phillips. Welcome back to Bonafide Talk, guys. One of the hottest Christian radio broadcasts in the country, and you're listening to Bonafide Talk live right now. Monica, talk
yes.
to us. What inspired the fallen state of man?
Ooh, the fallen state of man. I had a dream. God showed me a dream one night. And the dream was devastating, very scary. And as the Lord began to give me the revelation of the dream, he told me to write it. And so I wasn't an author prior to him giving me this dream and said to write it because it was for the people. And it was... the dream actually, it was in an amusement park. And this day, I knew that it was like an all-believers day. You know how you just know things in your spirit?
Sure.
This was one of those days. This was for all the believers everywhere. And we were at the amusement park, me and my brother and my sister. And because everyone was talking the same language, we began to just minister to each other with other people standing by the roller coaster. And we just began to talk about how good God was and how much we loved Jesus. And everyone was just on one accord. And I remember saying, don't you just love him? And as we just stood there just talking about how much we love God. Now, this was one of those days the weather was clear, the sun was high, you know, no clouds. It was one of those days.
Okay.
And, yeah, it was one of those days. And we're standing there, and all of a sudden the sky started getting dark just for apparent reason. The sky started getting dark. And, of course, people began to look up in the sky because it was just hot and sunny, you know. And as we're standing there, the clouds begin to get darker. And now people are, you know, grabbing for their kids. The wind is picking up just a little bit in the dream. And we're looking up in the sky. And all of a sudden, the clouds get really thick, and they started billowing. And I can still hear the sound that the clouds made. I know it sounds crazy, but the clouds was actually making a sound as they were billowing.
Wow.
And once they started billowing, this cross came out, you know, from the east. And now people, it's total chaos in this park. Now, this is all believers. It's total chaos in the park because, you know, we're confused, like, why is Jesus on the cross? And I remember just screaming, Jesus, Jesus. And a few minutes later, the clouds begin to billow again the same way. And out of the opposite side of the sky, there was a black hooded figure came out, still on the cross, but he was bound by ropes at the neck. He was bound by ropes at the neck, at the arms, and at the feet. So I'm standing where I'm standing. I'm actually screaming because no one knows what's going on. And I begin to look at Jesus. His robe, it was tainted and tattered and bloody. And he was crying. And the clouds began to blow again, and then there was two sand hills that came out of the sky. All of this happened in midair.
Wow.
So, yeah, all of this happened at midair. We're screaming, and I'm instead calling Jesus. I'm saying, Jesus, help us. But he never looked at us. If you would put your right hand up, and turn your thumb towards you. That's the way Jesus came out of the cloud. And if you put your left hand up and allow your palm to face you, this is how the black hooded figure came out of the sky. So you have Jesus away from us, and you have this black hooded figure facing us. And evangelist, I kept saying, Jesus, I don't understand, why won't he help us? Why won't he look at us? And I started to try to settle myself as much as I could. It was so overwhelming that even when I woke up, I was crying. When I came out of the dream, I was crying. And probably for about a few weeks, I heard nothing from God. I'm saying, God, what was that? When I woke up, I heard the screams of the people. And I said, God, what was that? And for weeks, I heard nothing. And then there was one day the Holy Spirit said, get something to write with. I want to share with you what you saw. And I sat down and I got an ink pen and a tablet, and he began to share with me concerning the vision. And it was for the saints. And I asked him, I said, why was Jesus on the cross? And he said, because we put him there. We put him there. And that was most heartening for me, because I knew that I was responsible for crucifying Jesus afresh. I knew that I hadn't been living all that I should have been living for Christ. You know, I knew I had started gossiping a little bit, you know, and so we were responsible for putting him back on the cross, and that's what he said. So I didn't look out at anyone. I began to look within myself. And this is what this book is about. It's about you looking within yourself, because if you want change to come, you can't look out. You have to look in. And that's what I begin to do, as you begin to share the different areas of this vision with me.
Okay, so if I'm understanding you clearly, prophetess, the vision that you that God gave you, this was regarding our lack of repentance.
Absolutely, it was a lack of you know. Let's go back to when we were first saved, when we first gave our life to the Lord. You remember how excited you was when you first gave your life to Jesus? I mean, you didn't want no junk in. You wouldn't let nobody say anything to you. You wouldn't gossip. You wouldn't do anything to displease God.
Amen.
You know, and that excitement that we had, we were telling everybody. I know for me, I was telling everybody about Jesus. I was, hey, I'm saved. You know, airplane to go over. I'm saying, I'm saved. You know, and I had so much faith and believed that somebody saw me in that airplane telling them I'm saved. You know, that's how we was. But as time went by, we've allowed a lot of things in. We've gotten comfortable.
You better preach it.
And that's what I was saying. We got comfortable in our being saved, and then we started allowing a lot of things in. And I can only speak for me, but I know I let a lot of things in, so I got comfortable and started, oh, well, this probably ain't that bad. This probably ain't that bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we've done. But when we sin, when we struggle in sin, we are crucifying Jesus afresh and putting him to an open shame. And that's what he was telling me in the dream. It wasn't that, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It wasn't them that he was on the cross for. It was his own. It was us. It was us that don't have any unity. It was us that's clicked up in the church. It was us that fornicating and committing adultery. It was us, those that are naming the name of Christ. it was us.
Wow.
And so looking at that, I said, you know, God, I repent, because his story was being relived again, and we put him on the cross. It was devastating to just watch. I actually, in the vision, I just buckled. I was there. I was in that moment. He allowed me to feel the weight of his pain, the weight of his sadness, because we have gotten out of position with God. We'll put a man before God. If God tell us to do something, we'll now. And I'm not saying you don't go and talk with your leader, because that's order. But if God tells you to do something, and if you have a leader after God's own heart, then he's going to be right there with you, and he's going to say, yes, do it. He may even give you some suggestions to or how to do it, but we have a lot of pastors that don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And
you
so,
know, let me inject something real quick, if I may, Prophet. As I listen to you, I'm going over so many mental notes in my head. When you describe that passion and blind ambition after we became saved. You know, we didn't even have the knowledge base. You know, half of us didn't even know the Ten Commandments at the time, but we knew we were saved by Jesus. Amen. And I'm reminded of a child. I'm reflected back to my grandchildren before they started walking. You know, it was just crawling. And then when they got to running and walking, it was so brand new to them. It was like a new adventure. It was a new time of their life. You know, they had arrived. You know, they're tearing up everything now. But the point that I'm making is I hear you on that. You know, that ambition, that drive to do nothing but live for Christ, to be that shining light for other people, to want to try to bring everybody with us. And you know something? I praise God for you, Prophetess, for bringing that back to the forefront. Now, regarding what you just said about some church leadership, we're not referring to everyone, ladies and gentlemen, but how do you think that some leaders purposefully stifle their members for fear or concern that they're going to lose their power, control, et cetera, or because they don't want to see you, plural, happen?
I do. In the book, in The Fallen State of Man, the Lord gave me a chapter. It's chapter 14. It's called the Jacob-Laban thing. And that talks about how Jacob as a sheep, went to Laban as a father wanting his daughter Rachel. And the manipulation came in is when Laban said, well, you know, work in the church. You know, you have to go there with me, work in the church for 7 years, and then you can go on and do your ministry because, you know. And so when he worked in the church, per se, to go after his ministry, he was then given Leah. And so that is a form of control and manipulation that some pastors use to keep the people down. Now, I pastored for 6 years myself after I got out of the belly of the fish.
Okay.
Like Jonah. You know, I was satisfied in my church. I was doing outreach. I do an outreach ministry called Drive Through Prayer. I was good with that. I go outside. I hit the corners. I hit, you know, I talk to the drug dealers, the gangbangers. That's my passion.
Right.
And so when God began to speak to me and say, I want you to go and start an outreach ministry, a church, and I'm saying, well, why do I have to do that? Because there's churches on really every corner just about in my city. So there's a whole lot of churches. So I fought with God for really almost a year and a half or better, because I didn't want to go.
Uh-huh.
And I told him, I said, why do I have to go? He said, you're not starting another church. You're starting God's church. And that was the name of the church, God's church. And so I was there. And when I say it was God's church, I mean it was God's church. However he moved, that's how we moved. We didn't have a program. We wasn't restricted to a program. It's, Lord, what do you want from us today? And so, but I do believe that some pastors, they use control to keep the people down. And if you're passionate to God's own heart, for me, when I left, stopped pastoring, I was happy to hear that churches opened up behind God using me to start the ministry.
Praise
so,
God.
You know, yeah, you bless God for that, and you go on to your next venture. And that's what I did. So, I mean, even myself, I've experienced some things in the church like that where, I'm going to leave the church because God is calling me to it. Only because he's calling me to do this is why I'm leaving. I'm not leaving you. I'm leaving to do God's will. And
right.
So a lot of things happen with even me, but you have to know that if God is allowing you to pastor these people, he never meant for you to lord over the people.
Right.
So we've begin to lord over the people versus pastor the people.
And there's
when
a difference.
There is a difference. There's a difference. So he never intended for us to lord over his people because they are his people and not ours.
Amen. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I see the switchboard completely lit up, and we have people that's in the chat room also. For those of you that are in chat, if you have a question or comment, please feel free to post your comments, or if you'd like your voice to be heard on Bonafide Talk, dial now 347-327-9688 and press 1. Everyone that has tuned in via the telephone, mwah, I love you. Thank you so much for tuning in to tonight's episode of Bonafide Talk. Press 1 if you have a question or comment for myself or for Prophetess Monica Phillips, and we have a caller.
Amen.
Yes, caller with the number is all ending in ones. You're now on Bonafide Talk. What is your question or comment tonight?
My comment is when she was talking about when we first got saved, the both of you, that was that childlike faith.
Yes.
We were just like when you talked about your grandchildren or our children.
Mm-hmm.
And he's that. Before you ever know he's God, he's your daddy.
Yeah.
Because
Amen.
You expect him to protect you and you trust him. But when the first real big storm come about and people start hurting you in the church. Because people not hurting me that bad in the world.
Right.
It begins to tarnish your faith because the first thing, and people never want to admit, I'm mad with God. Because you be saying, why did you let these people do this to me?
That's true. That's true.
Absolutely. That's very true. And church hurt is the absolute worst. And then I promise I'm going to ask if you continue. Church hurt is the absolute worst because we have certain expectations when we go to church. We expect love and, you know, all of the fruit of the Spirit. Unfortunately, what has happened in the body of Christ and in other different types of organizations, as usual, Satan's on his job, okay? So his job is to steal, kill, and destroy. So he's going to infiltrate, okay? And it's very important that when we get into that particular state, that we have to remember, ladies and gentlemen, that the fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. That's when you go into prayer. That's when you reach out to people who are powerful, who are veterans in this thing, that know how to cast out those devils and demons that keep you from the glory. Don't get me to preaching, y'all. Go ahead, Monica, take it, because I'm about to go off. I'm about to go to preaching.
The woman of God, you are absolutely right. That was that childlike faith. And again, when we've gotten to living saved and we get comfortable and things, that big storm happened. You know, and I know for me, I'm not new to this. I'm true to this. And so,
amen.
And I was saying, God, where are you? God, how are you going to let me? I said exactly what you're saying. Why are you allowing this to happen to me? I've been faithful to you. Yeah, so we go there, and I was very upset with God because I'm saying, where are you? And that's true, but even in the midst of that, just like in the vision, I never stopped trying to reach out to Jesus. And that just reminded me in the dream when I was calling him, even though he would not respond to us, I never stopped calling on him. Maybe my mouth did, but my spirit didn't.
Amen.
And so, but that's what happens. When we get in these storms, we get comfortable and we don't know where God is, and so we start allowing a lot of things in because he didn't come for our rescue, or we think he didn't, you know. And another thing, you know, go ahead.
No, you go right ahead.
Right, and that's the thing. So we think he's not there, but he's actually there all the time. I'm looking at my situation right now. I was saying, God, where are you? I couldn't pray. I couldn't sing. I couldn't worship. The only thing I can do in this present storm that I'm just coming through, I got on Facebook and I began to read the different encouraging words that people were putting out because I didn't have it in me to do it. And so you know how we have to encourage ourselves sometimes. Well, what happens when yourself need to be encouraged?
Hello. We have a caller. I'm sorry, Prophetess. We have a caller. Caller, number is ending in 0658. You're now on Bonafide Talk. What is your question, comment, or contribution to tonight's discussion?
Well, praise God. This is Prophet Bob. I came to support Prophetess Monica. Woman of God, when you were describing your dream, the vision that God had given you, man, my spirit leaped, and I got goosebumps going across the back of my shoulders. I wanted to share with you about this. When you were talking about at the beginning when we first get saved, I used to go out, and I mean witness a lot, and as an evangelist, and now I am a prophet, and I see things also. And Prophetess Monica, I'm telling you, my God, today, after 40 years of serving the Lord, and I've been saved since 1976, I have never lost my zeal to go out there and win souls for the kingdom of God. Nothing else matters because the Bible says those that win souls are wise. And so I want to thank God today that I've never lost my zeal. I go out on the streets. I go downtown Youngstown. And, you know, by going underneath the Mahoning Bridge and witnessing to them and telling people about the Lord, we need to get our zeal back for God. Yes. Glory to God. And we need to get back to the basics of serving the Lord, but also the one thing that God really loves of his people is to go out on the highway and byways to compel them to come in. And so, woman God, I commend you tonight because that vision, I'm still getting chills up and down my back, and I know that's coming from God. God bless you, Prophetess Monica.
Praise God.
Amen. Thank you so much for your contribution to tonight's discussion. And Monica, I concur wholeheartedly. Everything we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the things that the devil has stolen from us, I decree right now in the mighty name of Jesus that everything that the devil has stolen for us, we're going to get it back tenfold.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus. Let's give God some praise, y'all.
Amen, woman.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. And that is so true, Prophet, because it's almost like being saved is a chore. You know, you don't see the happiness that we used to have. You don't see the joy. It's like we go to church, we go to church because we're supposed to go to church on Sunday. We go religiously, not necessarily going to God, but we go to church because that's what we're supposed to do. But it's almost like it's a chore now for us to even be saved.
Sunday is every day, woman of God. Not just on Sunday. Sunday is every day.
Absolutely.
And I'm just thankful, you know, to be honest with you, there are some of us that are still traditionally grounded, but even though we may not be living right, we've got sense enough to know to at least go to church to hear the word. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go into a quick commercial break, and we're going to go in and tackle some other things regarding the fallen state of man. Here is our featured guest, none other than Prophetess Monica Phillips with You Are First.
Bless you.
Thank you.
you came and you rescued me. Said, won't you please open your door, your first. Yes, you are. I came to you broken hearted, wounded on every hand. But you took that brightness of my heart and put it back together again. I know it seems sometimes that I'm always letting you down. Forgive me, Lord. That's when you carried me until I was able to come. I came to you broken.
Thank you, ma'am.
Welcome back to Bonafide Talk, guys. One of the hottest Christian radio broadcasts in the country. You're now listening to it live on the Excel Broadcasting Network. Hey, guys, if anybody else would like to chime in on this discussion right now, those of you that are in the chat room, I love you for tuning in. Go ahead and post your comments now, or if you'd like to, if your voice actually heard on the radio, dial now, 347-327-9688 and press 1. Those of you that are currently on the switchboard, feel free to press 1 now, and you will be acknowledged. Prophetess Monica, mm-hmm. I wanted to, there were some things as you and I began to talk and become closer. You know you're my sister, right? That you are my sister. I love Monica Phillips. You hear me? I think that it is imperative that we understand that, yes, we are no longer under the law, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that we can live under grace. However, we must be mindful, wouldn't you agree, that grace is not a license to sin. Amen?
Absolutely.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, and I sit back and I'm sorry, go ahead.
You know, I wanted to say this to you, Prophetess Monica. This is Prophetess Connie Hightower, and I'm so glad I'm on the line. My God, so much confirmation. In 1992, I was at Azusa, and the anointing was so thick and powerful, and God said to me, "What do you see?" I said, "I see a perfect head with a gangrenous, disease-ridden, dilapidated body." And he said, "You see, well, the head is me." He said, "But I want you to look a little further." And in one spot, it was clear, it was pure, it was the most beautiful skin you want to see. And he said to me, "I'm going to have the church that I started with, and it's going to be a remnant."
Amen.
You see, you can't treat him any kind of way. He's long-suffering.
Yes.
And you have to stay in alignment, and all of us get off key every now and then. We all miss the mark because none of us are perfect.
Amen.
I tell you, when you stay in alignment with Father,
hallelujah,
he will show you his will, his thoughts, his strategies, not man.
Yes.
And his wisdom. And I want to say this to you because I'm hearing it. He has so much more for you. Those
Amen.
6 years were draining ground.
That's true.
He was only preparing you
for
what's next. And you steadfast, unmovable. Psalms 1:1 says you're the tree planted by the water. You know what that means? You're the tree, but the water is the spirit that's filling your roots.
Hallelujah.
And he's your foundation, and I don't care how bad the storm is, you'll bend, but you won't break.
Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Someone just chimed in, guys, and asked me to elaborate on what the word fervent means so that we can all kind of be on the same page when I made the comment about the fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. The word fervent, family, means to have an intense feeling and enthusiasm for something. You know, when we come across this word in the book of James, you know, when the writer uses it in this context of an effective prayer, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. Jesus kind of making a point that praying with passion and intensity is an important part of seeing our prayers answered. You know, we're not just to simply go through the motions of prayer. It should also be noted that this is not only the element, but it is the prayers of the righteous person that are effective. Amen? So I just wanted to kind of put that out there just so that everybody would kind of be on the same page with that when we say the fervent prayer, when the Word says the fervent prayer. Now, I wanted to switch off to another subject, if I could, ladies and gentlemen. If the title of your book, Monica, The Fallen State of Man, I mean, that just says it all. You know, when we compare man to what his initial state was when Adam and Eve were created. Adam and Eve were pure initially, right? But if we compare man to his initial state, man is really, Lord, forgive me, a fool. Let's go to Romans 1:33. Ladies and gentlemen, pull out your Bibles or something to write. Well, we're going to the Bible. Romans 1:33 tells us, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And it's been a progressive spiraling event when it comes to human nature ever since. What is your opinion about, or your facts about this? Because we're going straight from the Bible. What is your comment regarding that, prophetess?
Well, when you think about the original state of man, and now that you look at where we are today, we are in a fallen state. And that's for sure. Yes, Adam was the first fall. But now when Jesus came, he came that we don't have to sin. And as you was talking about earlier, how that grace is not a vehicle to sin. And I hear people say that a lot of times, well, you know, grace is sufficient. Yes, but shall we continue in it, that grace may abound, God forbid. So, yeah, we are in a fallen state, but we have to individually first get ourselves together. And that's what I want back to. It has to come, the change has to come from within you. You know, we know what Adam did. We know when Jesus came to rescue us and save us, but yet we still sin. And a lot of times we don't think we're sinning. You know, when you talk about someone or allow someone to even feed you or fill you with ungodly things. Jesus said, don't even let any corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but we do.
Right.
So we're sinning. You know what I'm saying? So we have to come to a place within ourselves and understand, okay, God, this is do or die for me, because at the end of the day, where's your soul going to spend eternity? That's first off. So we have to come to a, we have to get to a place where we have to make up in our own mind that this is not how I'm going to live anymore in that fallen state.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And the choice is definitely ours. So now, you know, as I listen to you, prophetess, and I listen to the, I'm going to call you guys panelists. Thank you so much for chiming in to Bonafide Talk to support our featured guest, Prophetess Monica Phillips. I'm reminded about when they were trying to build that Tower of Babel, you know, how they worked so hard to lay up their little bricks and bake them so that they could try to build a tower that reached to heaven so that they can make a god out of themselves, basically. You know, and I'm reflecting back now to, you know, how it talks about in the Bible, about in the last days, about how we're going to have famine and you can't tell the weather apart and that type of thing. And they are attributing that to global warming. Warming.
Wow.
And I find that interesting. It very well could be, but it could be that. But it's like still screaming prophecy because man is doing it, you know? So regardless, we're in end times. I don't care whose fault it is, whether man's doing it or whatever. We're still in end times. And I think that it's imperative we need to start preaching more about sin and the consequences of sin. We need to steer away from preaching about things that are just merely going to fill the top plate for that evening so that whomever can drive their Lexus, their Benz, or whatever, or what have you. We need to start preaching about sin and the consequences of sin. And quite frankly, we're going to hell if we don't repent. I know we don't live under the law, but mess around and don't repent for one of those Ten Commandments and see don't you bust hell wide open. I'm tired of it. It's time for real gospel, y'all. Lay up with this sugar coated gospel. No.
Oh, you know, I think a lot of them are afraid that if they speak truth, they'll lose a lot of people in the church. You know, they'll lose the tithe pair. So we kind of go in the middle with it. We don't really preach against sin, but we'll go in the middle of it. But, you know, half truth is a whole lie.
Thank you. Hello.
You know, we have to begin to go back because it's still holiness or hell.
Amen.
Amen.
Hear the hell. When I was a young girl coming up in church, we heard about hell. We heard about fire and brimstone, but you don't hear those messages anymore. We've gotten away from that. And so, but we have to go back, and that's what I'm saying. We have to go back to our first love. It's not a chore being saved.
No,
you
it's
know,
not.
It should be
no, it's not.
Situation. It should be. You should be happy. And a lot of times when we look at the Christians and the saints, you know, they be mean as the devil. But it shouldn't be that way. We have to go back to our first love. And even in the dream, it's not that Jesus was out of position. He told me that we were out of position. His people.
Wow.
He could have very well turned because I was so upset. I said, why won't he look at us? You know, this is the Son of God. He's supposed to help us. He's our protector. And he's not protecting or he's not helping us. He couldn't look at us because we had so much wickedness on us. So he couldn't even look at us. Because we had all of these things on us. You know, we were, you know, at the roller coaster, and that's where the dream started. There was a fence there. And me and my brother and my sister, we were talking to the people on the opposite side of the fence. Now, we were all talking the same thing, but we were still divided by a fence. You get it? We're divided by a fence of denomination. We're divided by a fence. You know, your church is right and mine's not. We're divided
Absolutely.
By all of this. We say we love Jesus. We say he's the best thing that ever happened to us, but we're still yet divided by all of these things. Denomination, I'm going to tell you, that is one of the main things that keeps the body of Christ divided. When
yes,
we
ma'am.
Stand between He's not going to say, I want all the Church of God in Christ over here. I want the Baptists over here. I want the Pentecostals. Everybody's going to be there together. But we're divided by the denomination, and I believe it's just a trick of the enemy to keep us fighting each other.
Absolutely. So, absolutely.
Amen.
We have a caller. Number with the number ending in 9007. You're now on Bonafide Talk. What is your question or comment for tonight? Caller with the number ending 9007, you're now on Bonafide Talk. What is your question or for tonight? Your question or
hey,
comment?
Hey, Evangelist. This is Pastor B. How you doing?
Hello, Pastor B. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good.
Thank you so much for chiming in. What is your contribution to tonight's discussion?
Well, first of all, it's a subject that's dear to my heart about the fallen man. The first thing is, men have to get back to their rightful place in God.
Amen.
They can't. We have too many. We have lost the way with too many sugar-coated messages coming from the pulpit because church politics have now taken over for the anointing.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter because, see, back in the day when I was growing up, you were called by God. You didn't have to pass a board.
Hello.
You need the approval of a board to be in the pulpit for God. Now you've got church politics that have taken over, that have taken the called out and put who they want in because it tickles their ear and they can get away with more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So if you let man choose the leader instead of God, you have circumvented the will and put your will in front of God's will. Therefore,
Amen.
Jeremiah 29:11 does not come true for you and your congregation because God's plan was already created before he said, let there be.
Absolutely.
And because you circumvented the plan and you want God. And here's the other thing that happens. The church has gotten to a state where they want God to fit in their plan.
Mm.
Come on
Preach
now.
Preach it. Come on
now. Now, if you want God to fit in your plan, then you'll be just like what Solomon said about the fool. The fool is only wise in his own eyes.
Right.
And the Bible also tells you that the steps of a good man are ordered by who? The Lord. And
the
what
Lord.
Happens, when you are walking in the Lord's footsteps, he delights, he's happy with what you're doing because you're walking the way he tells you to walk.
Amen.
So I agree with the lady that spoke just before me. Denomination has been killed the body of Christ because every denomination has started from an angry man that decided to leave because he wasn't put in a position of authority. So he went and created a denomination.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. I wanted to inject something real quick. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would be so kind, whoever that is that's doing some banging in the background, if you could, like, put your phone on mute or something, we really appreciate that because we're able to hear everything, okay? I love you, honey. Pastor B, thank you so much for tonight, your contribution to tonight's discussion on this. Don't go anywhere. We're almost done. I wanted to ask one final question, Prophetess, and I'd like to get our panelists' opinion on this. The passage at 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will I forgive their sins and will heal their land. Now, I was asked this. I have a particular take on it, but I want to hear yours, Prophetess. If we do this, is there a such thing as reversing, and this is going to sound kind of crazy, but I was asked this, but is there a such thing as reversing or slowing up Jesus coming back, so to speak, if we do this?
I didn't hear your last part.
The last part I was asking was, you know, if we do that, if we bow down and we repent and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, is that a quote-unquote delay from Jesus coming back?
He said none will perish. That's off grip. I can't say if it will delay his coming or not. He already knows when he's coming.
Right.
We just have to be in position to be ready when he comes.
Amen.
You know, we have a choice that we can make now. So, if he desire none to perish, but he's not going to continue to fool around with us when we continue in sin. He's not going to do that. So it's up to the individual to kill their flesh. And that's the thing. We keep saying, well, God has not fooled me yet. Be patient. He's not pinching me yet. But the truth of the matter is Jesus already died for our sins. He already died and rose for our sins. So we don't have to sin. If he says to be holy, for I am holy, that means it's attainable to us. We can be holy. We just have to crucify and beat this flesh daily so it can die.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
That's true.
Does anyone else have a comment also regarding that?
I do.
Oh.
Okay, if we may, let's acknowledge the missus. Let's go ahead and acknowledge the missus, please.
Okay, this is Prophetess Connie Hightower again. What I like about what she said, holiness is a lifestyle.
Amen.
It's a lifestyle. But here's the thing, and it's been said previously. Until you really want to be all that he has called you to be before the foundations of the world, it's never going to happen.
That's
amen.
True.
Amen.
It's never going to happen. I've heard people say, look in the mirror, you'll see Jesus. I looked in the mirror one day and I've seen a hot mess.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
From the top to the bottom. I didn't see no Jesus.
Amen.
I saw me.
Yeah.
My messy self.
We have to make that decision to change.
That we do. And that's bona fide talk, definitely. And there was
amen.
A gentleman that wanted to chime in.
It's Pastor B again.
Hey, Pastor B.
When you read that scripture, I want to break it down just a little bit, if I may.
Absolutely.
It says, first of all, the first three words says, if my people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, you got to ask yourself, are you his people?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Then it said, which are called by my name. Which means you didn't call him, he called you.
Amen.
Yes, you're right.
Did it go say, shall humble themselves and pray? See, there's when you look at the word, because what happens in a lot of times, and it's just so simple, and is a conjunction, so there's some steps that you got to take. So the first
Absolutely.
One was you have to pray. Then in conjunction with prayer, you have to seek his face.
That's right.
Then
right.
in conjunction with seeking, you got to turn from your wicked way.
Yes.
Then once you do that, Then it says, then will I hear from heaven. So that means that God is even right at that moment, the things that he wants to give to you, he's not listening to himself until you completely turn around.
That's correct.
Jesus.
And that's where that's what we got to get back to teaching and preaching, if you're going to be real with it, because there's a whole lot of people that are seeking God but can't find him in the church building because the people inside the church don't know who God is.
Amen. You better preach it.
That's a good one.
The scripture warns you about what would happen to folks that have a form of godliness.
That's it.
Yeah.
And if you notice, the word godliness is spelled with a small g.
Absolutely.
So therefore, the church and it's the body, and I want to say this gingerly, the body of Christ has put more loyalty into the man of God instead
That's
of
it.
The God of the man.
Ma'am.
Right.
That's
so therefore, you can't do what 2 Chronicles 7:14 say, and that's why the lands are not being healed, and the lands in the modern day time is the church as a body. And I'm not talking
mm-hmm.
about building; I'm talking about people.
Absolutely,
mm-hmm.
as a whole,
the church
sick.
Is within.
The church is no longer a hospital. Guess what? The church has become
a
mental ward.
Basically, hello,
yeah.
You better preach it.
Come on, somebody.
It sounds like he's read The Fallen State of Man.
Have you read The Fallen State of Man, Pastor B?
I've lived The Fallen State of Man.
Amen.
I know what it is. I know what it is to be called by God and run from your calling to the point where God puts you down to zero and you have to build yourself back up through Christ only.
Amen.
Glory, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Here's the thing, too. I want people to understand that Jesus is the advocate for you. You still need to go to God. And that's what a lot of people still leave. Oh, I can call on the name of Jesus all day. But at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. But it's still God that you need to get the blessing from. And
that
leaves
right.
God out of
Good
a lot
pastor.
Of things.
Right.
Call on Jesus all you want to, but if you don't recognize who created Jesus, you still short.
Amen.
That's
right.
Amen.
And that's what
they're
teaching in the church.
Let me just say this. The fallen state of man, it's not talking about man as in male. It's talking about man as in
mankind.
Human, right.
Mankind. So it's not,
exactly.
You know, this gentleman one time says, well, I thought it was down in men. See, the devil is stupid. He'll do anything to make people not want to hear the truth. So he'll put that little lie out, well, she's down in men, and that's not even the case. I'm talking about mankind. This is what the Lord gave me. And so when Jesus, when the scripture says wicked ways, you notice he didn't say your Christian way. He said wicked ways.
Wicked ways.
Not your Christian ways. So we have a lot of making up to do is what we have to do, but will we do it? And again,
Amen.
It starts the individual.
No. And he said,
we won't do it because we
won't
want to suffer.
Right.
We don't want to suffer. We don't want
people,
to sacrifice. We do not want to do it.
Right.
We don't want to suffer. We don't want to sacrifice.
Right. We love the fruit of the Spirit as long as we don't have to deal. We love every fruit of the Spirit that has a one syllable or two syllable.
Wow.
But when it comes
good.
To the one that has three syllables, we don't want to do with that one. But you know what? The number three is completion in God. So if long suffering, which is three syllables, will get you to completion because it is the bridge to the fruit. Because you can do, everybody can do love, joy, peace, and kindness, and gentleness. But when it comes to suffering long, nobody wants to suffer long.
That's it.
That's
but
true.
They want to be
true.
Like Jesus.
How about that? And Jesus certainly
true.
Suffered for us all
that's
that he did. Prophetess Monica, how do we go about getting a hold of your wonderful book, The Fallen State of Man?
Amen. You can get it on Amazon, and you can also go to www.exlibris.com, and the ISBN number is 978-1-499-02-5668. I also sent out copies to people if they want to purchase from me. My copies are $10. Amazon, okay. I'm not sure how much they're selling for, but this book, after you read your word, it's a must read for the church, for the body of Christ. It's a must read. When I was writing this book, I was crying and repenting at the same time, because again, when the Lord was showing me myself, my ugly self, I literally turned away because my truth was so ugly within me. And so, but I understood if I want change, then I need to look at this and get change within me first. And so this ministry, it's a message. This has nothing to do with Monica Phillips, but God allowed me to share some raw details of some experiences that I've had in my walk with Christ, just raw. I'm a truth carrier, so, you know, we always get hit the hardest when you standing for truth. And so if I have to tell you my ugly truth to help you get free, then I'm willing to do that. And so that's what I did in this book when he allowed me to
Amen.
Do it.
Amen. And you know something, Prophetess, as a word of encouragement from one sister to another, I want you to reflect on what you just said. He doesn't want that truth teller to tell it, okay? You
right.
mentioned to me, and you mentioned on this radio broadcast some, about you have been through so much over the past, how long? 6 years, did you say?
Since October, actually, a lot
okay.
of that has taken place. Uh-huh.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I decree right now,
and
I think
agree.
The prophetess later said earlier that this was boot camp for you.
Uh-huh.
You
yeah.
have you are
yeah.
about to
yeah.
be in a very good way a beast out here in the body of Christ. You hear me?
Thank
you are
you.
In the position. You're
you.
Being positioned right
Jesus.
Now to inspire
you,
and to encourage. And I decree right now in the mighty name of Jesus that everything going forth from this day forth will turn into platinum. It is so. I say so.
Thank
Jesus
you,
say
Jesus.
So in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's go over towards the end of our show. I want to thank this wonderful woman of God, Prophetess Monica
yes.
Phillips, for being the featured guest on Bonafide Talk.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank
Amen.
You for having me. Thank you. I'm humbled. I'm humbled. Thank you. Thank you.
Prophetess Phillips, what is your closing statement for tonight?
Look within. You know you better than anyone else. You know that you've allowed some things to creep into your salvation. You know that you've been gossiping. You know you. So look within and find a way to get back into the presence of God. We need his glory in us. And if we have his glory, a lot of things won't even get inside of us, because there's a part in the book where I talk about, Lord, let your glory fill the house. There was a message that I preached, Lord, let your glory fill the house. We know in that scripture in Chronicles, when the glory was in the house, the priest couldn't even enter. Y'all remember that? In
yes,
the Chronicles, the priest couldn't enter, but what the Lord gave me was he allowed me to use a priest as something that's in authority in your life. The priest of gossip, the priest of jealousy, the priest of lying. If the glory is in your house, the priest can't even get in. So we need the glory of the Lord to fill our house. That way when gossip knock on the door, it has to bow because it sees the glory.
Amen.
Jesus, amen. Wonderful, wonderful.
Hallelujah.
Way to close it out.
We need
yeah.
the glory. We need the glory.
Hallelujah.
Glory. Hallelujah.
We've come to the close tonight, guys. I want to thank again Prophetess Monica Phillips for being the featured guest on Bonafide Talk. And as always,
keep God first in your walk, baby, and that's Bonafide Talk.
God bless you.
Bonafide Talk.